Welcome to Talk About Scary, the show where we do just that. I'm Clay, and I'm joined by Adam.
Adam. Hey, guys. Adam. Hey, that's me. Dum. It's spelled A-D-U-M-B, by the way. Adam. Hey, buddy.
I know we've got a fun episode planned, but I do want to take a minute to let everyone know that we do have a special out on Tubi, Amazon Prime, and some other platforms. It's called Spirits of the Superstition Mountains. Please do us a solid and check it out. Tell your friends. It's a lot of fun. It's definitely worth the watch. Do it.
Yep. It's great, guys. And you watching our videos and our featured content, especially on platforms like Tubi and Amazon, that just helps support the podcast, helps us bring you great content, and that's what we love doing. And as filmmakers, it's one of our passions to do those kind of things for you. So yeah, please do it and leave your reviews on any platform you see it on, or on IMDb or whatever you like. We'd like to hear from you, or you could contact us on Instagram and Talk About Scary, and we'd love to hear from you there too. So please. Spirits of the Superstitions, please. Again, now live on Tubi, Amazon, and a handful of other platforms.
But
give it a shot. Tubi's great too, but you can watch it without a subscription. It's free.
It is free.
It has a few ads, but they're usually pretty good ads.
It's good.
And
it's good.
The quality of the video is really good.
But now that we've gotten the housekeeping issue out of the way, I mentioned, we do have a pretty cool episode planned, and this is something that we want to start adding to the mix. It's not just, as you've noticed, we've taken away some of the things from our tagline and our opening about talking about scary places, where we're now just talking about scary, and that's broad, and it's supposed to be, because there's a lot of things that we want to cover. It could just be places, but it could also be, things and thoughts and conspiracies and people. And people usually equals murders and crimes, and those can be scary. So that's definitely something that we want to start talking about.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, as we've said before, you know, Clay finds the supernatural very scary. I find real life really scary sometimes. So, you know, we're kind of doing a little bit of everything. And it's funny because we've tried a lot of different formats and platforms. Haven't we, Clay?
Yes.
We've tried a lot. You know, to bring content to you, we're creatives, and you know, no one's ever here to really wrangle us in, so we kind of just go nuts and try all different things. And one of the things that I tried that it never launched for us was I wanted to do a true crime podcast. Excuse me, so hard to say. Called Pathological. I can't do it. I can't say it, it's so hard. It's like saying rear wheel drive.
I'm not even going to try that. Are you crazy?
It's hard, but why would it be a series of words you'd have to say? But so this was from notes. We have a bunch of these notes of true crime that we wanted to talk about. And you know, this one was from Pathological, and we've discussed it, and Clay and I kind of came up with it together, and we wanted to present it to you guys, because this will be like our first true crime discussion, right? I think it is.
I mean, we've talked about like crimes, so, but this is like our first, yes, talking about a specific killer and what happened to him and what he did and this and that. And yeah, we're not talking about anything supernatural today. So if you're into ghosts, go to a previous episode or skip ahead to the next one. Unless it's this the newest one, then you're out of luck.
That's it. And today we are talking about the truck stop killer. A little bit of a longer episode, but we'll try to keep it as brief as possible. What do you guys say? You ready? Buckle up, buckaroos. We're going for a ride.
On the mad
down the highway.
Bus.
And in particular, down an Arizona highway, just outside of Casa Grande. So here we go. February 5th, 1990, Houston, Texas. Let's start it. A frantic young woman staggers across a busy road trying to flag down passing cars, and eventually a motorist stopped to help her. She was 18-year-old Nicole Tuttle. She was hysterical and had been beaten severely. Her hair had been chopped off to only inches from her skull. The driver took her to the police. At the Houston Police Department, Nicole tells her story, which began in California a week earlier. On January 29th, she said that she had hitched a ride from a trucker at a rest stop who called himself Dusty. He said he was headed to East Arizona. Nicole said he seemed friendly and felt comfortable enough that she took a nap.
Doesn't every killer seem friendly, just to like cut in for a second?
Yeah, right?
Like, I can't even tell you how many people
she took
like,
a nap in the,
love Ted Bundy.
Yeah.
Moving on.
Yeah, he was well handsome, you know, handsome guy, you know, for the times at least. But yeah, she felt so comfortable. She took a nap in his car, which is crazy. Or in his cab, excuse me. She told police that while she was sleeping, the trucker jumped in the back of the cab, overpowered her, and chained her to a wall in his cab. He had chains in his cab and gagged her with a horse bit. He had a horse bit in his cab. He tortured her by whipping her and piercing her body with fish hooks. Ouch.
Did she think he...
He also raped and sodomized her.
Did he think that she was a fish?
He did not. Horrible joke, but I'll allow it. he also raped and sodomized her. She told police that she was chained in the cab for a total of 6 days. 6 long effing days.
That's terrible.
She told her that she told the police that the trucker took her to his Houston apartment, allowed her to bathe, and then chained her to the wall and continued to torture and rape her again. What an asshole. He forced her back into the truck, but failed to shackle her. When he drove to the next stop, he left her alone to unload some freight in the back of the truck, and that's when she ran for it and escaped, still wearing a dog leash around her neck. Officers soon found a truck and the driver matching the description Nicole gave them. They pulled the truck over and the driver stepped out of the truck so they could drive Nicole past the truck. They took him out of the truck so she could drive past and ID this guy, because that's what cops do. That's kind of how they do things.
Cops.
Nicole told the officers, right? That's the cops.
Cops.
Nicole told the officers that the man wasn't the one that took her, and she just wanted to go home to California, and said that if they did find him, she would likely be too terrified to testify against him. That's how horrible things were for her.
Well, 6 days now, in a terrible setting like that probably felt like a lot longer. So, I mean, I understand. Well, I don't understand, but I can attempt to relate, except I can't.
Yeah.
But I'm trying. I'm going to be quiet.
No, it's cool. So we got Nicole Tuttle that just did this the same exact day in Pasadena, Texas, just 15 miles away from this incident where the cops stopped the guy, right? A pair of hitchhiking teens, 14-year-old Regina Walters and her 18-year-old boyfriend, Ricky Lee Jones, because I guess in 1990, that was fine. I don't remember that being fine, but 14-year-old Regina Walters and her 18-year-old boyfriend, Ricky Lee Jones.
It's 1990. It's cool. It's cool.
Yeah.
It's cool.
They were walking down the interstate looking for a ride. They were hitchhiking. The two young lovers wanted to run away from home together. They were picked up by the same trucker and took off toward what they thought would be a new life for both of them.
It wasn't.
It wasn't. No, spoiler alert, it wasn't.
Oh, yeah. Spoiler.
Regina's mom, Carol Ann, came home from work later in the evening, and she was surprised to see that her daughter wasn't home. Regina left no note, no messages on the answering machine, nothing. She called Regina's father, who lived in Houston, to see if she went there, because sometimes she did that, and he said she wasn't there either. So, you know, Carol Ann must have been getting pretty scared right now. And a day went by, and then she decided to contact the Pasadena police to file a missing persons report. This is Pasadena, Texas, everybody, if you didn't hear that, okay? She had mentioned that although Regina had run away before, it was only for like a day, maybe two, and she would usually contact her mother soon after. She told Regina that she had, that Regina had not left without contacting her by that time. And the following days, Carol Ann put up flyers offering a reward for information regarding her disappearance. On March 17th, Carol Ann received an anonymous call now. She recorded the call as instructed by the police, and the voice was that of a male, and he said that he wanted to meet Carol Ann at a nearby convenience store at 6:30 a.m. the next morning to talk about Regina. Although police warned Carol Ann against doing this, she agreed to meet the man anyway, and police stood and watched close by. After 2 hours, the man never showed up, and Carol Ann went home. On the same night, Regina's father received an anonymous call from a man who wanted to talk to Regina, too. He reported the incident to police immediately. 2 days later, detectives received phone records from that day. The call to Regina's father's home came from a gas station located 200 miles northwest of where she was last seen. The call to her mother came from a payphone that was located just down the street from her mom's home. That is fucking freaky. Sorry, because he's doing the funk noises in the background. 2 weeks later, Carol Ann received another call from the man. He asked her to meet him again at the same convenience store. This time, the police traced the call to a nearby payphone and rushed to the location. By the time police arrived, the man was gone. So, not great police work, but they're trying.
They're trying.
Now,
April Yoda 23rd, tells us not to do that. It's do or do not.
Mm-hmm. No try. On April 23rd, police found a partial skeleton of a small female that was approximately Regina's age and height. She was found near a river bank in Pasadena. After checking the dental records, they discovered that the skeleton was of another young girl who at time was yet to be identified. As we know, DNA evidence, I think the first case of DNA evidence being brought into court was like 1990 or 91. Most places didn't have access to DNA evidence. And if they did, there was no records to follow up on. So they always used to go by dental records.
Right, and there's a great show to watch if you're finding this interesting and how all this started. It's called Forensic Files. We're very familiar with that, and we both recommend it.
Yeah.
And we both recommend falling asleep to it. Not that I can attest that that's ever
happened.
It's
actually a great way to fall asleep. The narrator, Peter Thomas, may he rest in peace, was just the most soothing person in the world.
Also, not to go on like a side tangent, but they like just
wood.
They like just released like a new Forensic Files and they replaced him.
Not as good.
And Elise has been watching it and I'm like, yeah, but it's not the same.
The people don't want any more reenactments. We're tired of it. Stop showing us reenactments and people crying
like
as
some
they give us their testimony.
Voices.
Yeah, just don't do that. His voice would be okay. It's the voice they chose. I think it's just that they've done. It's just like every Investigation Discovery TV show you watch. It's a person sitting there crying and telling you firsthand accounts of what happened to them, and then reenactments of what happened to them instead of actually the
sometimes
facts.
Sometimes it's the voice. Like I love watching like Planet Earth and the Blue Planet and those BBC documentaries as long as David Attenborough is narrating it and hosting it. Like his voice is just, man, some people, they got the voice. I don't. Listen to
blue
me. Listen to
boobies.
Me talk. I don't have it.
Yeah, I love David Attenborough. And Morgan Freeman.
Yeah.
Through the wormhole.
Such a good show. But that was our
Tilda Swinton
intermission. Now we're
Tilda Swinton
back to
we're back. Yeah,
Robert Penrose.
We're back to it. Yep. The truck stop killer, Robert Penrose. Now, guys, you know, right about now, you're probably thinking that it seems strange that the remains of another girl was found in Pasadena, and you'd actually be right. It seems as if it was most likely not a coincidence that one girl went missing and the remains of another girl were found in the same year in the same town. And I'm sure that investigators felt the same way at that time, but you know, with not much to go on, they just continued their work. In October 12th of the same year in Manville, Texas, two boys were playing by an interstate when they came across a pile of discarded logs. The debris lay more, there was just a lot more human remains. They ran home to tell their parents. Their parents called police. The police recovered the corpse. However, they found no identification on the body, and the body was too decomposed to make a quick positive identification. The autopsy revealed that the remains were from another young female, just not Regina. Also in October, in Bond County, Illinois, the police, let me skip backwards here. I don't want to get too far ahead of myself, but, in Bond County, Illinois, a farmer was preparing to demolish this old barn on his property by setting it on fire. Odd, but you know, set it on fire. He went to the barn to check and make sure that there wasn't anybody in the structure at the time. You know, he mentioned that sometimes homeless people would sleep in there, things like that. He knew it. He didn't want to make sure
I'd sleep in there.
No one was in danger. Mm-hmm. Why? I mean, if you didn't have a home, there's an old abandoned barn. Yeah. It's a good place to sleep. Me too. But you know, as soon as he got there, he walked up a ladder to the hayloft to check around, and he discovered a badly decomposed body that was unclothed.
Why are they all naked?
When the police arrived. What?
Well, I mean, I guess.
This one's naked.
You mentioned, like, yeah, all rape, we'll see. I guess. Yeah, keep going.
They're
keep
naked.
Going.
Yeah, they're going. Naked. Okay. So the Bond County police scoured the barn and the surrounding area for evidence. Again, no identification was found. Police also discovered a white cotton thread laying next to the body that looked new, not matching the rest of the materials in the barn. There was baling wire that had been wrapped tightly around the body's neck, almost decapitating the head from the body. The hair on the head had been almost completely cut off, with very little bit remaining. The remains were that of a young female, again, approximately 14 to 16 years old and about 90 to 110 pounds. The medical examiner determined the cause of death to be from strangulation. The baling wire had been twisted around the neck a total of 16 times.
That's one more than 15.
That's one more than 15. That's crazy. The victim was listed as a Jane Doe by the Illinois State Database. Teletypes were sent to all the departments with missing persons matching the victim's description. By the way, teletypes are... how do I describe a teletype besides it was a teletype? It was kind of like a modern day email. So people type stuff out. A telephone went on this telephone looking harness, and it would send an encoded message to type it out on another electronic typewriter.
You're old.
Crazy.
That you know that? You're
yeah,
old.
It's that. Yeah, I'm really old now that I said that out loud. That was insane.
I'm like, I don't know what, what are you talking about?
Yeah, it's insane. I don't even know how to describe this to you, Clay. It's like trying to describe a rotary phone to you. I don't even know where to start.
Hey, I know what that is. That's where you like put your finger in the hole and like had to like turn it, like for the number.
Yeah, yeah. Pretty close. Yeah.
I mean, like I probably didn't describe it well, but like I know what that is.
This was before faxes, for God's sakes. And faxes are archaic.
Yeah.
So, the teletypes were sent out to all departments with the missing persons matching the victim's description. Shortly after, Pasadena police sent dental records to them, and the body was positively identified as Regina. So they found Regina, her body, almost decapitated, naked, and tied with baling wire, her wrist tied with baling wire, and strangled to death in this barn. And although Ricky was still missing, police ruled him out as a suspect in Regina's death, due to the controlled nature of the killing. Profilers believed that the killer would have been a traveler due to the proximity of the barn to the interstate. Shortly after, authorities were alerted to the discovery of more remains that were found 200 miles north in Marshall, Texas. There, partial skeletal remains were found on a creek bank. The skull had been perforated with a small caliber bullet, and the victim's approximate age and height led investigators to conclude that the remains were that of Ricky Lee Jones, Regina's missing boyfriend.
Dun, 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 dun.
Here comes kind of to a head, guys, here. So bear with me. What we got for time here? We're doing okay. We're at 20 minutes. I just want to make sure I say that because I don't like to draw these things out too much for our listeners. Some of them have very short attention spans. Not you guys. I'm talking about the other guys that are listening, but not you. You guys are cool.
What are you talking about?
Right, short attention span.
What?
People, but there's
Where
very few
am
of them.
I?
here. Take your Adderall. Let's get back to it.
I can see the wall.
April 1st, 1990. Right. April 1st, 1990. Right. Here we go. Casa Grande, Arizona. An AZ state trooper, Michael Miller, pulled to the side of the road to inspect a parked semi-truck on the side of the road. The truck was parked in an unsafe place, and the trooper wanted to intervene before an accident was caused. When Miller peered through the windows, he was shocked to find a terrified woman chained like an animal to the back of the cab. The driver was removed from the vehicle, cuffed, and placed in the back of the trooper's vehicle. The ID on the driver's wallet was that of Robert Ben Rhodes. Dun, dun, dun. I would have saved that part for you guys, but Clay already let it out. No big deal. And it'll actually be in the show notes, so it's like I'm not really saving anything for you. But, you know.
Oh, yeah, I didn't realize that was a secret. Yeah.
It doesn't really matter. It's going to be in the title. So,
true.
After the trooper calmed the woman and assured her that her ordeal was over, he went back to his vehicle to check on Rhodes. He had already rearranged his handcuffs and was attempting to escape from the car. After securing Rhodes and calling for backup, police discovered an array of torture tools inside his truck. These tools included chains that were welded to the back of the sleeper compartment, fishhooks, bloody white towels, right? White thread, white towels, and a horse bit, and a briefcase filled with sexually sadistic implements and a camera. There was also a bundle of human hair that did not belong to the woman in the truck. The woman was identified as 27-year-old Kathleen Vaughn. She told police that she'd been picked up at a truck stop in Phoenix just an hour earlier. She said she dozed off in the sleeper, and Rhodes jumped on top of her, overpowered her, and assaulted her and chained her to the back of his cab wall. He told her his name was Whips and Chains and that he had been doing this for 15 years.
Wow.
This is getting scary.
Just now, questioning Colleen, investigators, prior was not...
That stuff was scary, but like hearing the testimony of the person again and seeing that this guy progressed so quickly from February to April is insanity.
Yeah.
Like he was at full bore, you know, terrifying, but, and he already confessed this. He was going to murder her. You know, he was going to do things and murder her and torture her. There was no way she was getting out of this. It just was fortunate that a police officer stopped at the time he stopped, or she would have been dead.
True.
But upon questioning her, Colleen, investigators became quickly aware that she suffered from delusions. She would drift back and forth from recounting her horrific ordeal and being distraught to recounting her travels across the country and that she was on her way to Washington for a meeting with the president. She said that she had a microchip to give him. She would also periodically make references to underground prisons. Investigators realized that Colleen's testimony may have been problematic, to say the least, due to her loose grip on reality, so they hoped to get a confession from Rhodes instead.
Yeah, she sounded a little bit cuckoo.
She was bad off, you know?
Yeah.
Real bad off. A lot of people that are, you know, traveling the country like that and getting... I mean, the entire idea of getting into a truck with a truck driver and hitchhiking cross country is not something that somebody with all of their faculties would normally do. Most of these people are either going to be transient in some sort, or they're going to be prostitutes or have mental illness or kids that are trying to run away. Nobody that can make a good life decision hops in the truck with a stranger and goes across the country. It just doesn't make sense.
Well, not one that calls themselves Whips and Chains.
You know, when the police questioned Rhodes, he called Colleen a crazy lot lizard and that she asked to be chained up and said that she liked it. He denied everything. He wouldn't provide any details about what happened in the truck. And police held Rhodes, on aggravated and unlawful imprisonment.
Words.
Excuse me for not being able to say that. Words are hard. And for those who don't know what a lot lizard is, it's referencing a person who... prostitutes themselves in a truck stop to get rides to different places. So they call them lot lizards, in case you're wondering what that meant. That's what that means. Clay has been often called a lot lizard because he doesn't like to drive his car to my house. He likes to hitch rides and do whatever he can to get here, which is only 25 miles away. It seems like you're selling yourself short,
whatever,
man.
Whatever I can.
Whenever you... Nice. Okay, I'm gonna pull back the levity a bit. This is not a time to laugh. Okay.
No laughing.
After his arrest, no laughing on this one, unfortunately, guys. After his arrest, Rhodes made national news. Police in Houston recognized him as he was a detained suspect in a similar crime committed against 18-year-old Nicole Tuttle, if you remember from 20 minutes ago, guys. He relayed that police were unable to press charges as Tuttle did not positively identify him. At that time, the police had detained him. However, she later admitted in the hospital that it was Rhodes, and she was too terrified to press charges. So, all the way back to the beginning, Nicole Tuttle admitted in the hospital after she was taken to the hospital, that was him, I could not press charges, I was terrified. Cops were looking for him ever since. Since it was determined that Rhodes committed crimes in multiple states, they called the FBI in, because that's what the FBI does. When they investigated his Houston apartment, it was filled with bloody white towels and various torture devices, including bondage apparatuses, I don't know how to say that plurally, chains, handcuffs, a rack for securing people to, a rack to secure people to, and a lot of women's jewelry. Investigators also found stacks of photographs depicting bound and distraught women with their hair cut off in various states of undress. They were unable to identify any of the women in the photos. And by the way, they already have three corpses. They couldn't identify any of these women in the photos. Because there was little evidence to try Rhodes for something more, he was offered a deal to confess to the current charge of aggravated assault and unlawful imprisonment. He would get 6 years in prison and be eligible for parole in 1 year.
Words again.
And Rhodes took that deal. Words. Does anybody know why they might have said, just confess to this and we'll give you 6 years? Any clue, Clay?
I didn't know there was going to be a test. I was wondering where I'm at, and I was looking at the wall.
Well, they did that because they knew that they could have him in prison for 1 year while they investigated the rest of these murders and see if they could tie him to anything
else. That's what I was going to say, but go ahead.
Time's ticking, yeah. Right? And after a year, this guy is going to be out. Okay, so to keep that in mind, and investigators are working diligently before he's released and flees somewhere where they'll never find him again. So they're working their hardest right now. In October 1991, investigators in the Regina Walters case came across this information about Rhodes when talking to an officer that worked on the Nicole Tuttle case. It seemed as if Rhodes quickly became a suspect in their case too. Upon investigating the evidence in Rhodes' apartment, within the multitude of pictures of bound and distraught women, investigators find explicit photos of Regina. She was in what looked like a barn, and she was crying and trying to shield herself from the camera. Within the numerous female undergarments found in his Houston apartment, there was a black dress matching the one Regina wore in the photo. It was determined that the white thread found close to Regina's body held similar class characteristics to the bloody towels found in the apartment as well. Upon delving further into Rhodes' work records, investigators found driving logs and fuel receipts that showed locations and times corresponding to numerous missing persons across the U.S. Rhodes was extradited to Illinois, where he was convicted of the murder of Regina Walters and received life without parole. He is currently serving his sentence in the Menard Correctional Center in Chester, Illinois. Based on current evidence, Rhodes is suspected in numerous cases with over, get this, 50 possible victims.
That's one more than 49.
That has been the story. Yep, one more than 49. And that's the story of the truck stop killer, Robert Ben Rhodes. And just because he's probably not going to listen, but just in case he ever does, you are a cowardice asshole, you little piece of crap.
Yeah, that's terrible. And, that's quite horrible to hear.
I hope they are doing to you horrible, horrible things in that prison that you deserve.
I had to lighten this up a little bit, but yeah, it's pretty terrible.
What a piece of shit.
And also, if you just
so sorry, guys, it's usually a little bit funnier.
This guy, he just looks. I don't know.
He just looks like a turd. Just looks like a turd.
Maybe he looked. He just looks like a whiny turd. But I would never get in a car with him. So yeah, I mean, someone had to be in a really bad place to voluntarily get in this man's car. But yeah, that's...
Yeah, he prayed on the weak and the naive.
That's terrible.
And, you know, he's where he deserves to be. But besides hell, which is... We'll be waiting for him if you subscribe to those beliefs. And I hope he does. Yeah, usually, guys, we have really fun episodes. And this is the first one we're trying out like this. And we'll have more because I think that there's a lot of our listeners have expressed the desire to hear more of these type of things. And it'll be done in the style of talk about scary, like we always do. One of us will probably read most of it and let you guys feel it out, because it's probably the best way that'll work. So I hope you enjoyed what we told you today and this information. And if you have any suggestions at all, please leave them. You can get on our Instagram and talk about it if you'd like. At Talk About Scary. We'll have some pictures of Robert Ben Rhodes up there, and I think I can send Clay some of the crime scene photos.
He's scary.
For him to put up
and
there.
The pictures look scary too.
Yeah. Yeah, so this is like the first episode of Talk About Scary that I'm actually scared. So
well, we both always said
it's pretty
that
terrifying.
Real life is often scarier than the what ifs. And I mean, yeah, like ghosts and stuff like that can be scary. I know that you don't really get scared by stuff like that, but this kind of stuff is truly terrifying because it happened. It's not what if, it happened. And man, it's horrible to hear. I mean, I joke and try to make some funny comments during, just because it's so dark and I don't know what else to say, but I want
yeah,
to try
awkward,
to lighten
right?
up the show a little bit, but yeah, it's just, it's terrible. Watching stuff like
it's
this
a bit awkward.
On other shows and listening to other podcasts about murders is, it's tough. I mean, my wife does it all the time. I don't know how. And then she gets scared every night. So.
Yeah. Well, you know, I've done this one and there's another podcast that we might actually just pepper in, and we might actually, I've been talking to Clay, but we did one pilot episode of Pathological and we might actually just put that out there for you guys as an extra, because I'm not doing it. And one of the reasons why I'm not doing it is because after doing the research, you feel so shitty afterward. You just feel really
bad.
Some
people are just terrible. There's just terrible people out there.
And I couldn't do this. I couldn't do that job over and over and over again. Like, I listened to Morbid with Ash and Elena. That's another great podcast if you guys haven't heard of it. And they have their own network and they talk about these kind of things all the time. And all I can think to myself is how, thank you for doing it, by the way, Ash and Elena. But how the hell do you do that day in and day out? It would destroy me as a person. Maybe I'm just weaker that way, you know, but it does. It absolutely does. I don't mind peppering them in once in a while. Absolutely. We'd love to give the listeners what they want, right? And we're going to continue to do that, along with some really, really great content we have coming up. And I think you guys are going to like it. We have a new television series we're making. Don't forget to watch Spirits of the Superstitions, which is more along the lines of what we do for specials. And that'll be fantastic as well, as soon as I have the first installment of our new standalone series that's presented by Talk About Scary. We'll let you guys know about that as well. A lot of stuff in the works, and this is just another little piece of flavor we're adding to our podcast because you've asked for it, right?
I wasn't paying attention because my attention span.
He never pays attention.
Were you talking?
Because I ramble too much.
I was talking.
But they're asking for it, so we're giving it to them, you know.
Who's talking in my
you
ears
asked for
right
it.
Now? Who is it?
Yeah, look who's talking. This? Look who's talking. I'm a baby. But you know, we'd like to thank you guys for listening today. And we hope you enjoyed this. And I know we always say something at the end of a podcast, and I always forget what it is.
I'll remind you. It's the one thing I can remember, and it's creep it real. Do as I say.
That's right, guys. Creep it real. Creep it real, guys, and
hope you enjoy.
Yeah, absolutely. Bye.
That's all I have to say.
Peace.
That's all I have to say.
Peace.
It's difficult to do those, right? It's difficult to do those.
Yeah, I didn't even know like
there
what to say during some of it.
There's nothing you can add. Yeah, I mean, you're gonna have to spearhead those too.